Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a well-known tech entrepreneur from Maryland, America, USA, Mr. Idan Mayer. Idan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Idan is the co-founder and CEO of Right Here, which is an innovative startup that turns public spaces into accessible environments for people with spatial orientation challenges, including people who are blind or visually impaired. He earlier founded Hubanana, which is an Israeli tech hub for startups. So Idan, you're obviously very passionate about startups. So let's start our conversation about Right Here.
Sure.
Tell me about this venture.
First of all, I'm very pleased to be here, and thank you so much for the invitation. Right Here is a startup company that has started almost 5 years ago. We've been running it fully bootstrapped up until very recently, a few months ago, originally from Israel. Basically, when we started Right Here, we asked ourselves a very simple question, which is, what if science could speak? We see signs everywhere, right? We see signs outdoors and indoors.
Yeah.
Wherever you go, you'll find signage. And we thought, how amazing would it be if those signs could speak? How amazing would it be for people like myself? I'm always getting lost. So wherever I go, the story of my life, I'm getting lost. Maybe if they could just tell me where to go, that could be very helpful for me to orientate myself. And then we thought, if we'll be able to solve this orientation challenge like mine, for people who are blind or visually impaired, it's probably having even more severe challenge around that, probably will be able to solve it for me and for many others. And this is how Right Here started. I usually, you know, when I talk about us, I share a few or two facts that a lot of people are very surprised by. One is that specifically in the United States, there are over 100 million Braille signs. Wherever you go, you'll find a Braille sign, and whether if it's in the elevators, restrooms, wherever you go, it doesn't matter if it's a small store or a big airport, they're everywhere. The second fact, and a lot of people are very surprised by that, is that over 90% of the blind community do not know to read Braille at all.
Wow.
Okay, so we have about only 10% who can read those signs. Those 10% having a hard time to find these signs, because you need to find them first to be able to read them. Those who find them or lucky enough to find them, not necessarily want to touch them, especially now with COVID, because it's a public surface. And those who are brave enough to touch them will get a very limited amount of information because of the limitations of Braille. Therefore, when you look into the public or the built environment and you ask yourself, so how would a blind or visually impaired person will be able to orientate himself and go from point A to point B independently?
Correct.
The answer is there is no good answer to that. And therefore, when you ask people how you do that, the common answer is that usually we do that with somebody. And this is exactly what we're changing with at Right Here, providing the independence in a private and respectful way for people with an app. It's a free app, both Android and iPhone. Supports 26 different languages. So for the listeners here, it's probably in your language as well.
Okay.
It's free to use outdoors, so you can just download the app and start using it or try it, as well as indoors with facilities who work with us. And we've been growing pretty rapidly in the past few years, and now we're bringing it to the United States.
Fantastic. So for our viewers and listeners, Idan, if you can help us understand, how does this app work? I mean, how are you helping the visually impaired using the app, and how... But before that, what are some of the orientation challenges visually impaired people face?
I mean, they're very big. I mean, as I said, according to research, most people who are blind or visually impaired remember by heart about 4 to 5 locations. It can be their home, the previous home, the family, school or workspace, and that's basically it. So all others are basically unfamiliar environments, and finding your way around there is almost impossible, I would say, with today's world. Again, I mentioned the Braille signs. They're also tactile aids in some locations, but they're mostly for hazards and cautions, and rather than wayfinding. So the challenge is huge. The way we solve that is with a whole system that we developed. The system, as for today, basically has three main components. One is the app. As I said, it's a free app.
Yeah.
And I'll get back to the app maybe in a minute. But the second component is beacons that we're installing at the facility. Beacons are basically a small Bluetooth devices in a size of an AirPod case, which they install at the facility. And thirdly, there is an online cloud dashboard, which allow the facility manager and us to control and edit all the audio descriptions, basically, that our users are hearing through the app when arriving to that location. So basically, for our users, the user experience looks like, or hears like, when they download the app, they can, by the way, for those listeners might not be aware, people who are 100% blind or visually impaired using the same smartphones as we all do, iPhone and Android, you can check it out on YouTube how they do that. It's fascinating with TalkBack or VoiceOver.
Okay.
And similarly, that's the way they're using our app. They can find in at home the locations they're desired to go to. It could be a hotel, for example. Then the app will simulate that location at home, so they can build a mental map before arriving. They can navigate there with an outdoor experience of just like Google Maps or Apple Maps, or just with Uber and Lyft arriving to the destination. And then when arriving, they will hear audio descriptions indoors about where they are, what is there, what's around them, who can they call for help if needed, and many more features like that, ultimately allowing them being more independent.
Amazing. And, you know, when I was reading about you, you also talk about an indoor positioning system.
Right.
How does this work?
So I think, I just say the whole indoor positioning and navigation space, I feel like it's one of the holy grails today in the high tech in general. There's so many different applications that can be done with that. Obviously, we do not have GPS in an indoor environment. So all the biggest companies you can think of, you know, from Google, Facebook, Apple, Intel, all the rest are working on that. There are a few technologies today that are available and affordable on the shelf, actually there for a few years now. One of them is the beacons or iBeacon technology, which we're using. I think that one of the, although this, like every other technology, has its own limitations, one of the, I think, big advantages of the beacon technology is the fact that it's very easy to install, maintain, and provide a good enough, I would say, level of accuracy. Again, depends on the use case, but at least on the orientation use case, like what's right here is offering, it's definitely there. So this is the positioning system we're currently working. We're always developing and upgrading to the next, but
very interesting. That's what we're using today. And you know, what you said was that someone who's visually impaired can use some maps and then be able to make a mind map in their own way. But if I'm, for example, visually impaired and if I'm walking from my home to a hotel, how are you able to pick up any kind of a problem on the pavement or any kind of a problem of traffic? How is that being picked up?
Wonderful question. It's right here, at least, we are 100% focusing on the wayfinding layer, the orientation layer, and not at all about the obstacles along the way. So avoiding obstacles along the way, as you asked, can be overcome through other skills that these users have, whether it's through the white cane they're using or the guiding dog that they might be using. Mm-hmm. At Right Here, we're not about avoiding obstacles whatsoever. There are so many other skills that helps with that. It's obviously still a challenge. It's not like it's been solved totally. It's still a challenge, even with other skills, but it's not a challenge that we are addressing, at least not as for today.
Not for the moment. And now there are also a lot of devices available which you can wear, which with wearable devices, which will not just give you a simulation of what to expect, but is also able to transmit through vibrations to your other senses. Now, is that something that you're also looking at?
We are looking at a lot of things at Right Here, to be honest. So obviously, the whole wearable, I don't know if you call it a revolution, but the whole wearable scene is something we're looking at, especially, I would say, the smart glasses. We've seen, I see them already in the stores, like the Ray-Ban Stories by Facebook and Ray-Ban and similars. There are definitely a lot of different applications for our audience that could be done on that. Some of them are already been tested. Others are still in an early design stage. I think, I always said that as technology is evolving, we'll see more and more apps and software and different technologies to solve these challenges. But and technology is always evolving, as everyone knows. But what isn't necessarily a change is the principles behind it. And I think what we put a lot of focus early on is about, I would say, two or three main principles. One is the fact that it has to be for independence. And not when I say independence, meaning not relying on other people, not even if remote. Being totally independent is a whole different feeling, and knowing that you've done it by yourself without anyone else involved in the loop. Secondly, is the fact that it has to be private. Nobody needs to know where you go. Nobody needs to walk with you wherever you go, or know that you've been there. So giving it as a very private experience. And thirdly, is the fact that it has to be free to the end users. We don't think that the users need to pay for the world to be accessible, and just like you've never, and it might sound obvious. Unfortunately, it isn't. A lot of the I think a lot of these other solutions we can find out there are cost, and sometimes heavily cost. We don't think that it is right. Happily, we have a different business model where the facilities are paying for that, just like they're paying for a ramp or an elevator for on wheelchairs. So these are the main principles we put behind it, and with the technologies is ever evolving.
Fantastic. So one of the other challenges that people face with technology, and I'm talking of people who are seniors, people of my vintage, is how do you handle such technology? So I wanted to ask you, how easy is Right Here to use by people across age groups?
Yes. First of all, absolutely. I always need to mention with our principles, when we think about accessibility, it's not just for people in a certain age group or in a certain region or even iPhone users rather than Android users. It has, when we think about accessibility and inclusive design or universal design, it has to be easy to use and effective for everyone, including everyone.
Correct.
It's obviously a challenge from the design and development perspective, but it's a challenge we are happy to take. We have a lot of users. I don't have a percent here to share, unfortunately, but I have a good feeling that at least a third of our users are in the elderly or later age. And in every test we do with our users group, there are at least a few that are older than the others using it. It's been, we put a lot of effort to make it as simple as possible. I think one of the ways that made it simple to use it is the approach that we're taking. The approach we're taking is having an orientation experience mm-hmm. rather than a navigation experience. Okay. Because, and what I mean about by that is that the goal isn't necessarily, you know, as you might use Waze or other navigation apps to get to a certain destination, but knowing where you are, what's there, what's around you, so you have more confidence to possibly navigate to another point in the space. So you can think about us more as talking signs, mm-hmm. as a sign would help you, rather than a Waze type of app. Mm. I believe that this approach is more basic in having your confidence in public space.
Yeah.
And with addition, you know, features like we have of calling for a local assistant. So wherever you go, you can push a button and have someone at that building, at that complex, that facility, to come and help you with whatever you need. This simple, you know, link between the, you know, the front desk, right, phone number, and people who are coming there. You know, it might sound obvious, it might sound so simple, but you might be surprised at how helpful it is for a lot of people. By the way, not necessarily blind or visually impaired. That could be anyone, you know, that offers, not even age. That could be a person with, you know, a faster and faster heartbeat that all of a sudden needs someone here to help him. There you go. You don't need to Google.
Well said. And would you have any, you know, interesting anecdotes to share from your users, so that my viewers and listeners can understand what you're doing for people?
Yes, I will. Well, we have a lot. We have a whole playlist of users, testimonials in YouTube. But one that got to mind and might be relevant to at least some of the listeners, because wherever you are, you know, Right here is effective outdoors, freely everywhere, indoors only in locations that we work with. So I'll give an example in the outdoors, so it could be maybe effective for all listeners everywhere. One of our users told us that she was taking a bus from her work to somewhere else, not her home. She needed to go to somewhere else. I don't know where exactly, maybe a mall or something like that. And she wasn't sure where is her bus stop. To get off the bus. Mm-hmm. And she's tried to learn it, but you know how it is. You're getting on the bus and then, you know, and she's blind. And then she went to the driver and asked, hey, can you please tell me about this street so I could take off the bus? And he said, yes, of course. And the buses, you know, continue. And she's kind of starting to worry. Maybe he remember me, maybe he's not. Maybe he remember me, maybe he's not. Okay, I'll go back to him. Dear Mr. Driver, do you remember to? Yes, I remember. Continue. Then again, dear Mr. Driver, well, of course, you know, and he start to kind of, you know, get angry. Of course, you don't need to tell me 10 times. I understand. And then she was, okay, this is, I cannot ask him again, obviously. Yeah. What will I do? Okay, I'll open up the app. And the app will let me know exactly where I am every few. And she could find her stop without him letting her know. And he didn't let her know. And she got off the bus and she said, okay, I didn't need you. I found it myself as a small revenge. I love this story because she eventually been able to overcome by herself. Although hopefully drivers will be nicer. But that's a nice.
Fantastic. What an amazing story. So my next question to you is that you also mentioned that you could integrate right here with Waze or Google Maps. Is this something which people are beginning to use a lot of, like this example you just gave me?
Yes. So one of the less of Waze, but more of Uber, Lyft, Google Maps, absolutely. You know, Google Maps, which is a great app, one of the reasons I think that a lot of our users prefer using our outdoor experience than you, than Google Maps or the others, is because we've built it with, you know, accessibility by design, with this user in mind first. In the other mainstream apps, it's always the accessibility as an afterthought. They've done a great job there improving it every almost a year. Great progress, but still most of the time as an afterthought. One of the integrations we have, which I can share with Get, it's like a similar to Uber, is that once the passenger, the user, want to arrive to a certain destination, it can pick up this Get from the app, and the driver getting another message, not that there is a passenger that want to go to a certain destination, you get another message of, hey, this passenger might be visually impaired, please look for him rather than he'll look for you. I don't know if you've ever tried to order a cab with your eyes closed. You won't know if the cab arrived or not.
Absolutely.
You won't know. So if the drivers know that you won't look for him, but he needs to look for you, it makes the whole, you know, onboarding on the cab easier. And it's one of the ways we integrate that. We have other, of course, integrations, but this is a...
Wonderful. One more question relating to right here. And that is that, is this available all over the world? And if yes, how do people contact you?
So not yet in all over the world. We're not yet in all, like in Asia, we still need to, there's some countries that we're not available yet. But in most parts of the world we are. The way we are planning to expand it is by working very closely with the community. So therefore I'm very welcoming everyone who's listening here, is interested in our vision and mission here of making the world more accessible, to contact us, to contact me personally, and we'd be happy to collaborate and work towards having more locations accessible. I haven't mentioned that earlier, but I'm happy to say now that it's usually very fast, easy, and affordable process for a facility to become accessible. It's all a matter of awareness, to be honest. My contact details, my email is Idan. You're probably going to put it somewhere down the episode, but it's idan@right-here.com. I'm very available. We have a Facebook group, so just look for Right Here, right, R-I-G-H-T-H-E-A-R, here, like hearing, and you'll find us. Well, there's also, by the way, a contact through the app itself.
Fantastic. So, I'm sure a lot of our viewers and listeners may take up, your offer to communicate with them. So, my last question to you, and this is now I'm going to ask you to wear your hat as a startup entrepreneur.
Where we're heading with this.
Absolutely. But my question to you is that, what would you say are three lessons you would want to give to startup entrepreneurs after our conversation?
I think three lessons. One is, it's obviously harder to say than do, but try to ignore the bad voices in your own mind. Because I found big part of the entrepreneurial journey, at least for me, is happening in the mind. It's just happening in the mind. Therefore, I try to meditate a lot and practice there. There's a lot of reasons, for every startup to fail. The reality is that it's all the reasons to fail, very limited amount of reasons to succeed. Try to listen to that rather than to the failures' voices. This is one. Secondly, surround yourself with good people who truly care about the problem you're solving and your own success. People who want your own success as a person, as a team, as of course as for the problem itself, they will be with you in the hard times. And lastly, don't be afraid of taking risks. There's a lot of risk involved around this whole journey. Whether if it's pitching a client something that is not completed yet, but you're pitching as if it is. To make sure that he's actually interested. It's involved with some risk, but I feel like it's sometimes the only way of really validating your idea or validating your assumption that you fake it a little bit to make it. So
amazing. Idan, on that note, and your three tips of ignore the voices in your mind, surround yourself with people who care for you, and third, take risks. Thank you so much for speaking to me about Right Here. Thank you for talking to me about the incredible work that you're doing in Right Here and all the work that you're doing. And what was amazing to me was that you said it's free. And I think that is an incredible service you're giving to humanity for people who need your kind of product. But thank you again for speaking to me and good luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the brand called You Videocast and Podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.